So. Mom gave me peanuts today. She said they're salty. I'm not supposed to feed the squirrels salty peanuts. So. I think our squirrels like it. So. Salty makes you thirsty. But, water, we always want purified water. Everybody, drinking water, purified water, Michigan's logos, pure Michigan and stuff. And, I remember when everybody used to drink water out of a faucet at home. You used to drink it out of there all the time. And as kids, you play outside, you water in a garden, or you goof around with a hose, you just drink it right out of the hose. Now it's not normal. Can't drink it out of the hose. Everybody drinks it from a plastic bottle. You got to have it in plastic where it says it's been taken care of. At home you can get those gigantic 5-gallon water jugs and machines that purify your water to drink. And you can go to the store and fill your water jugs up again. It takes a while to stand there. And we do it. We are one. It takes a while to fill those up that you've emptied out. You got water filters in your house. They got pitchers you can put water in and put it. They've got filters in the pitcher. Everything's so afraid of contaminants and germs, and yet we survived. We're all here. So a lot of things need purified. They purified. The Bible talks a lot about gold and silver, and other things need purified. They need to remove the contaminants out of it. And it's things that need to be removed to keep them from being pure and to keep them from to be the most valuable they can. Because gold, pure gold is more valuable than contaminated gold. Pure silver is more valuable. And we should desire what God desires. And part of that's for us is a pure heart. We need a pure heart. He wants to remove the sin in our life. And unfortunately, we all have sin. But that's part of it. I would go to 1 John 1:5-10. 1 John 1:5-10. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us." We all have sin in our life. We just do. Now, Christ on the cross has taken away all the past, present, and the future sin. He's taken that from us. He's done away with that. He took all those from us. He bore the penalty for all of those. But we still have consequences for things we do. And we should ask God to give us a pure heart. I think it's very important. But we need to acknowledge first that we have sinned. That's part of the problem. We don't understand that we are sinful, that things aren't, we say, well, that's not a sin. We have different definitions of maybe what sin will be. And the Bible's very clear. It lines it out. It lists it out what sin is. And we can't change that. But we need to acknowledge that we do have sin. We are sinners. We still sin. We still make mistakes. But he says, if we walk in the light and live as God does, we have a fellowship with one another, but we also have that relationship with God. And that relationship is due to the blood of Christ, as he says, purifies us. And from all sin, not just some, all of it. That's how powerful the blood of Christ is. Just true confession. We have to confess those things. And acknowledging sin is a sin filter. If we acknowledge those things, we can get that forgiveness from God. God can remove those contaminants that enter our heart and enter our soul. We have well water where we live. I don't know maybe most of you do, maybe most of you city water, but we have well water. It's pretty hard water, so we had a water softener, you know, soften it up a little bit. You know, well, it was going bad. We could tell it was going bad. You can tell when things start to lime up and get a little hard, and you start seeing some rust and things like that. And well, it went bad, and then the water was getting some dirty, so we brought in a company we knew, and they tested the water and said, yep, you've got a bad softener. It's kaput. You need a new one of those. And then, but they also tested the water, and it also had iron in it, above the normal iron that comes with the water. So we ended up getting a new water softener and also an iron removal tank, and all with that, a new well pressure tank to draw the water. So it's all been replaced. It's all fixed. So you think, okay, wow, we got rid of all those contaminants. We got water flowing to us. Don't have to worry about that. And, you know, so it's all taken care of. We got that pure water coming. You know, the bad's all gone. And then we know a few days later, there's some little bit of black specks in the water. It's a little hard to see. You could go to the bathroom sink and turn it on, but you had to use like a white glass, a white cup, and then you poured it and let it settle. You could see black specks in the bottom. So we called them and said, you know, we got a problem here. It's not quite pure water yet. And they didn't really have answers. They talked to one another and searched out things and couldn't figure it out. And they come back and they cleaned everything out again and redid everything, even cleaned out the hot water heater and flushed it all out and everything. And said there were still a few specks, but they agreed that something was in the iron tank that hadn't cleaned itself out from manufacturing. And said, just turn it off for a couple of days, let it settle, and then turn it all back on again. And so we left the tank off for a day or two to settle and then turn it back on. And then, as they said, the specks became less and less. And finally, we couldn't see them any longer. They went away. They were right. We're back to pure water. But, you know, our heart's like that. You know, Jesus comes in and he takes all that dirt out. He cleanses us. Cleans it all. You know, we think we've got it good. We're there. You know, we get those. But then we start getting those little black specks in it. They're hard to see. Can't hardly distinguish them, but they start in there. They start to appear. They get worse, and they can get worse. Sometimes we can try to fix them ourselves, but that doesn't always work out. We think we can take care of it. We think we can do things to filter those out, that we're okay. Sometimes we need a higher power. Sometimes we need somebody that knows what they're doing to come fix it. Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to clean us up. Well, what's our path to purity and staying that way? Our path to purity is given in Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. This says a young person, but I think it applies to everybody. Psalm 119, 9 through 16 says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as the one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. You know, the Holy Spirit's in us, but it also takes effort on our part. You know, we have something to do with our part. We have to work at it, but with reliance on the Holy Spirit to cleanse us each day. You know, how do we do it? It says by living according to God's word. It sounds simple, but it's not that easy to do. Just live according to God's word. Seek God with your heart. You know, seek God with your whole heart. Because if your whole heart is seeking him, that doesn't leave room for the other stuff. It doesn't leave room for the black specks and stuff to start and to draw. You know, we say that, we just said it this morning. You know, hide it in our heart that we might not sin against God. It's in our pledge. We place that every Sunday. Do you do that through the week, every day? Do you hide your its word and God's word in your heart so that you don't sin against God? Because all sin is against God. You know, you may sin against another person, but ultimately it's a sin against God. Because God has told us the way to live with one another, the way to behave. And if we don't behave that way, that's a sin against God. He's given you the word to lead by. He teaches us his ways to follow. You know, his laws and ways are, they're for our good and his glory. That's why he puts them there. They're for our good. He knows what's best for us. And if we follow those, we give him glory. People see our lives and how we act. You know, they're not terrible instructions. They're not to beat us down. They're positive instructions. They help us live in ways to please him. And pleasing him receives his blessings. Following God's commands is the path to purity. You have to follow what he says. Spurgeon said he gave us the best things. He said he gave us the best thing, which was his word. Put it in the best place, which is our heart. And he did it for the best purpose, was that we might not sin against God. So it's all there. He gave it to us. He put it in our hearts. And it's there so we cannot sin against God. You know, we need to read the word and you know, it says meditate on it. We need to meditate on it. We need to think about it. And we need to consider God's ways. You know, not our way, but God's way. You know, chew on it, as they say. Got to chew on it a little bit. You know, cows chew their cud. You know, they chew it over and over again. They digest it better each time. That's how it works. We got to chew on it over and over again. You'll digest it better as you go along. And it's not snack food. Just a bite here and there. It's not fast food. You can't run through it. It's a full course meal, and you need to take your time and enjoy it. You need to take it in and taste it and consider how good it is. If you haven't tasted it, start off with a sample. And then another one, and I believe you'll end up acquiring a taste for it. But then you'll desire more and more. And if you obey it, it creates and supplies a pure heart. But you got to have that to have a pure heart. You got to have God's word. You got to know it. You got to read it. You got to obey it to give you a pure heart. Go to Psalm 51, 10 through 17. Psalm 51, 10 through 17. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God my Savior, and my tongue will sing your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You did not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You did not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. Sometimes we just get down. We let our guard down. We get down. We let little things come into our life that should not be there. We let those little black specks in. Before you know it, they've added up. They've gotten a little dirty. Starts getting pretty black. The worst part is we try to shrug it off. It'll be all right. You know, it's not that bad. Our sin's never that bad. You know, it's just a little thing. It doesn't mean much. It doesn't matter that big. Our sin's always like that. It doesn't matter that much. It's not that bad. Or I didn't hurt anyone. What does it matter? I didn't hurt anyone else. It's probably not true if you really think about it and look at it. For the big one, I'm not literally as bad as so-and-so. You know, we compare. You and you and you is not the standard. I'm sorry. I know you're all good people, but you're not the standard. Jesus is the standard, not us. It's really bad. You say, well, I wanted to do it and I deserved it. I wanted it, so that's just the way it is. I don't feel bad about it. I just wanted to do it and I deserved it. You know, just as you work and you have soft hands, you know, they become calloused. You get used to it. The work calluses up your hands. He was talking about guitar playing the other day, Tom, and you know, really, if you're moving your fingers on the frets, it's braided wire, really, is what it is. So you're moving your fingers along that wire. Well, it's pretty tough. You tell people that they're bleeding or play it a lot, then they start, you get calluses on your fingers, and you know, and that's what happens with continued sin. Develop a calloused heart, a hard heart. You know, sometimes we think we can handle sin and we can control it. You know, say, I'm good, I got this under control, this, you know, it's no big deal. But we can't control it by ourselves. Jesus cleared the temple, and we're God's temple. Sometimes we need cleaned up when sin seeps in, when sin starts to crawl in. But we need to be honest and recognize we need to change. We're satisfied for where we are, how we are, then we got a problem. We have to recognize and be honest that sin is in our life and we need to change. And then we need to ask for it. He's not going to make you change if you don't want to. If you want to change, we need to ask for it. We need to pray for it. We need to cry out for it. Create in me a pure heart, oh God. I don't know about you, but I do that almost every day. Sin is so easy. We need restoration in our relationship with God. We got to take accountability. We have to confess our sins. We need to seek forgiveness based on God's mercy. And with that request for grace and forgiveness, we need to respond by changing. Can't stay the same. It's not because we deserve it. It's because of God's mercy. We need to ask God to change us and mold us into what He desires us to be. Because we can't do it alone. The Holy Spirit will work. The Holy Spirit will transform you into an image of Christ. He's there to help you. If you let Him. If you let Him. You know, a pure heart takes complete surrender. Complete surrender. It takes a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. It takes us to recognize our need for mercy and grace. I guarantee if you, your life will change if you pray for a pure heart. God honors prayers when it's called to be more like Him. So we're going to have communion. And I meant to say, I forgot my invitation line. I have an invitation line. Make Chris run today up here. But we're going to have communion in a minute too after our song. So I want you to think about that time. You know, come to remember what he did. But he came to purify us. His shed blood came to purify us. Take all this in away. And we need a pure heart even today. We've been cleansed from sin. He's done that. His work on the cross did that. But each day we face battles. And sometimes we fail. We let it in. But we can always ask him to come back. To the Holy Spirit to do his work and to cleanse our heart. To make us a pure heart. Not to create it, but rebuild it, put it back. And purify our hearts to be what he wants us to be. Your life will be a lot better. Let's pray.